It's the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. Visit an English Gardens location near you this weekend and get 40% off one regular priced item with code WJR23. That's code WJR23. Now here's your host of the WJR Gardening Show, Ann Thomas.
Welcome to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. I'm Ann Thomas. I'm here with Dean Darren, Vice President of Retail Operations and the Merchandise Manager for English Gardens. And Dean, today's show is going to be all about the lawn.
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about lawn care from A to Z. Whether it's fertilizer, controlling insects, controlling diseases, taking care of your soil of your lawn, and of course, making sure your lawn's weed-free. And we want you to have the best lawn in your neighborhood. We want you to be the envy of your neighborhood.
We'll get started right after these messages. Welcome to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. I'm Ann Thomas. I'm here with Dean Darren, the Vice President of Retail Operations and the Merchandise Manager at English Gardens. Dean, I want to introduce you to our listeners by having you tell them a little bit about yourself and the family business.
Well, thanks, Ann. English Gardens was started in 1954 by my father and my uncle. And we have seven second-generation family members all involved in the business.
That's
the youngest one. I started working at age 14 in 1975. That's my first W-2, and never looked back.
Why did he decide to do gardening? How did that get going?
He was actually a heating and cooling contractor,
okay,
and sheet metal, and that was their trade. My dad was Italian, and they used to work with copper, and he was originally in the sheet metal business with his brothers, and there really wasn't enough business for them back in the late 40s, and my dad decided to go off with my mother's brother, my uncle, and his brother-in-law, so it was three brother-in-laws, bought the English Gardens in Dearborn on Ford Road.
Did he have a green thumb?
At the time, you know, I don't know. But I think he liked plants, sure.
And now this business is this incredibly successful family business with all these people involved. It's really awesome.
And we do have a lot of great people, and that's really what's built our business, is all the great people that work for us and with us. And we consider them family members.
I bet you do. And you know, Dean, I think people like to do business with family businesses.
Yeah, I think so. You know, over the years, we've really tried to emphasize that we are a family business in a lot of our communication. Many people just walking in, it's a big store, and they probably, many people would think it was a chain.
Sure.
Are you in other states? Well, we're not. We're only in Southeast Michigan. We have six stores, and no plans to go nationwide.
So I've seen a picture of your beautiful lawn. So
yeah.
I know you are a fantastic lawn care expert. It's April.
Yeah.
Should we start working on the lawn?
Absolutely. It is now time to start, starting out with a plan. There's, you know, fertilization things you can be doing. There's assessment, whether it's weeds, insects, disease problems. Were you happy with your lawn last year? And are you doing it yourself, or are you having someone do it for you? And then all of the above. And then most importantly, taking care of your soil is really important. Knowing the pH level of your soil and even the nutrient levels of your soil, which we can do that testing in the store, and making sure you have a healthy soil to grow a healthy lawn. And a healthy lawn, you won't have disease, insect, and weed problems. You've always heard about if you have a thick lawn, weeds won't grow in it.
Sure.
And that is true.
So let's start with the soil analysis. Is mm-hmm. that your first recommendation after you've cleaned up the lawn from all of this crazy weather we've been having?
Yeah, if you weren't happy with your lawn last year, or you want to make it better, you want to have the greenest lawn on the block, we'd love to do a soil test for you. We'll test the pH level, see where it's at. Typically, in southeast Michigan, we see a lot of alkaline soils.
Interesting.
Around the country and even other parts of Michigan, the soils are more acidic. But here in southeast Michigan, it is very alkaline soil. And if it's too high, the pH is above 7.2, we would want to adjust that down. And there's ways to do that.
What does the lawn look like if the pH is too high?
Yellow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it won't be a healthy lawn. It'll be yellow and thin, and won't green up real well. And getting that lower pH to neutral is important. Once we do a soil test, we'll take a look at where your pH level is, and then we have products that you can put down. One or two times a year. It does take some time to get that pH right.
So it's not going to happen overnight.
It's not going to happen even this year.
Oh.
If you had a pH of 7.9 or 7.8, you might be able to lower it 0.1% every year over the next 3 or 4 years to get it closer to neutral. So it does take some time. See, it's not a once and done thing.
So what would we do? Would we just go out into the yard and pick up a piece of the grass and go underneath that grass
yep.
to get the right amount of soil? Do you put it in a little cup, or what
yep.
do you do?
All we need is a little baggie full or a little cup full, maybe 4 inches deep. Bring it into any one of our locations to the garden pharmacy department, and we actually will take that soil and keep it because the soil needs to dry completely before we can do an accurate test on it. So we're gonna let it dry for 48 hours, and then we'll do a test, and then call you back with the results, have you come in, and we show you the results, and show you what needs to be done.
So once I've cleaned up the yard, mm-hmm. done the soil test, maybe put a little product on that, what do I do next?
So at that point, it's really, have you decided, or did, you know, are you doing it yourself or having someone do it for you? Obviously, we're talking about people that want to do it themselves at home and not hiring.
And a lot of people do.
And a lot of people do. There's nothing bad about lawn services as long as you get a quality one that's putting down quality product. And there is a difference in the fertilizers and other things that go down. We're going to just assess what you are trying to achieve. There's easy ways to do it. We've all heard the advertising and seen the four-step program, and Scott's has a great one. We sell a ton of it. It's very easy for you because you're buying all four of your bags up front. You have everything you need for the season, and you're done. We'll have you go out of the store. We can even mark on the bags with a Sharpie when to put them down and how to put it down.
I love that.
Yeah. And there's just simple things like, do I water before or do I water after? And step two, which is usually in most programs a weed and feed, has to go down on a wet lawn. So morning dew or turn your sprinklers on, because that granular has to stick to the leaves of the weeds that are there to kill them.
That makes sense.
And if you put it down on a wet lawn and 3 hours later you get a torrential downpour, you're going to wash it all off. So it's down on a wet lawn or moist lawn, no rain for 24 hours after 48, watered in. So those are little things that if people, you know, don't read the directions, they're not going to pick up on that, and it's not going to work. The fertilizer part will still work, but you're not going to get any of the benefit of the weed killer if you don't put it down right.
So a four-step plan. Mm-hmm. Step one, you would put that fertilizer down now, right?
Yep. Step one is usually when the forsythias start to bloom, that's when you're going to put it down. and you're going to do any cleanup. If you have any dead grass, do a little raking, and then it's time to start with step one.
And then step two, the weed killer, that goes down shortly thereafter, like a couple weeks?
You're going to wait. We're going to talk about all the tricks on when to put them down and the timing of that.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we will discuss the tricks of the trade with Dean Darren. You are listening to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. Visit an English Gardens location near you this weekend and get 40% off one regular priced item with code WJR23. That's code WJR23. Once again, here's your host, Ann Thomas.
I'm here with Dean Darren, Vice President of Retail Operations at English Gardens. Dean is also the Merchandise Manager. And Dean, you are so knowledgeable. I want our listeners to know that they can ask you questions by going to WJR.com. They should look for the WJR Gardening Show. And they can look for a little sign that says on the website, Ask the Garden Pharmacy Department, because you actually have garden pharmacists here at English Gardens to help people.
We do, and many of them are master gardeners. It's not any degree, but there are classes you can take, and we have lots of information that many of our pharmacists are self-taught.
That's awesome.
By doing research and learning from others.
So we've been talking about fertilizer.
Yeah.
Let's get back to fertilizing. So we know you need to put fertilizer number one down now.
Yes.
Then you need to wait a bit.
Yep.
And do the weed control.
So typically in Michigan, for our bluegrass or fescue lawns, you're going to want to feed about four times a year. And typically, it's real easy if you hit the holidays. First of all, Easter or early spring. If Easter happens to be late March, it might be a little too early. But step one is usually Easter time, and that's when the forsythias are in full bloom, those yellow flowers that are the first ones, the bushes that come out bright yellow. That is a key that it's the right time to put down step one. And that hasn't happened yet. It's April 4th, and I haven't seen a forsythia in bloom yet.
No.
So we're having a little bit of a late spring weather-wise. Step two, Memorial Day, so the end of May. And that's when you typically would put down the weed and feed, if you have weeds, or if you have step two, that's when you're going to put it down. The third time to apply fertilizer would be around the 4th of July, and that's typically just your summer lawn food. And then lastly, Labor Day, and 1st of September. And if you stagger it 6 to 7 weeks apart, that gets you what you are looking for, timing-wise.
So once you've got the fertilizer down, obviously, you need a spreader, right, for this?
Mm-hmm.
And you carry spreaders?
We carry spreaders. There are two kinds, drop spreaders and broadcast spreaders.
What's the difference?
The drop spreader puts the fertilizer directly down and would make one pass the width of the spreader. A broadcast spreader spreads it out further, 4 to 6 feet. So it's much quicker to put down with a broadcast spreader. Just easier to do.
So is it smarter to do the broadcast spreader, or is there a reason you would use the other one?
Well, the drop spreader is really more accurate, but it's easier to make a mistake, because if you miss a pass, you're going to have a stripe in your lawn. Broadcast spreader is a little easier. It may not be as efficient. So using a broadcast spreader, you may need a little more fertilizer to get the same coverage. Also important with a broadcast spreader, and really even a drop spreader, when you're done, make sure you get a blower out and blow the fertilizer that's on the sidewalks if you had any overspray to get it back into your lawn so it can be used.
Do you have any other tips for success with regard to fertilizing?
Sure. You know, good quality fertilizer is very important. Things with slow release nitrogen in it, and we're going to talk a little bit about nitrogen and the analysis of a fertilizer in a little while. But slow release nitrogen is important because that's going to last a long time. And what you don't want is you don't want your lawn, I call it, on a growing roller coaster. If you're putting down all quick release nitrogen and it's greening your lawn up in 2 days, and that nitrogen wears out in 2 weeks, and now your lawn's in a decline, and it starts looking yellow or not looking great, and then you hit it again with nitrogen, and it greens up in 2 days, a fast-release nitrogen. You get that lawn on a growing roller coaster, and that's when you are prone to getting disease in your lawn and insects attacking your lawn, because it's not a healthy lawn. If you have a healthy, thick lawn, you won't get weeds, you won't get disease, and you won't get insects, because they'll tend to go to your neighbors that might not be doing as good of a job, because they want the path of least resistance.
So in the past several years, I notice a lot of people are concerned about the type of fertilizer they're using on their lawns, mm-hmm. because, you know, pets, kids, themselves, they want to make sure that they're doing something that's safe. What kind of advice do you have with regard to the type of fertilizer and making sure that it is safe for us?
Yeah, so there's really two main types of fertilizer, synthetic and organic. Many of the organics are listed as pet safe. Synthetic fertilizers are man-made fertilizer, but it's still nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Many times people will ask, well, can I have my dog go on it? You'd want to wait until you water it in, especially on that step two. If you're putting it down and you want it to be on the leaves of the weeds, keep your dog off the lawn because they're going to get that on their paws and maybe lick their paws clean. Yeah. Typically, I always say dogs are smarter than people, and they're not going to go lick the lawn to try to eat the fertilizer. Maybe a child might, but not a dog. But keeping them off the lawn is important. The other thing that it's been done in Michigan, phosphorus, which is the middle number on lawn food, phosphorus is not great for the water. So with all the water we have here around southeast Michigan and the lawn foods that we're selling right now, if it's labeled for lawn food, it's not supposed to have phosphorus in it. You're really not supposed to be putting a lot of phosphorus down on your lawn unless you're sowing grass seed, and then it's still allowed. But automatically, that middle number is going to be zero on most everything you buy.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Can you have as much success with a healthy organic type fertilizer as you would with a synthetic fertilizer?
Yeah, absolutely. The organic fertilizers are really, really good. They tend to have a lot of slow release nitrogen in them, which is going to be something that's going to last, not having that lawn on a growing roller coaster. And so what's the drawback? The only drawback to the organic fertilizers is they cost more, and it's a more expensive thing to put down, but it's excellent quality.
Well, and at the end of the day, even though they may cost a little bit more, you've got a healthier lawn, and you don't have to spend as much down the road fixing the unhealthy lawn. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. It's getting that lawn good and healthy, and you have less problems on down the road.
You know, one of the things that I notice with our lawn is it'll start out pretty nice around this time of year. It's growing very nice. And then we get to, let's say, late spring, early summer, when you've got the heat's coming in, there are certain patches that look a little bit shaky. So in the next segment, let's talk a little bit about how do you deal with that?
Okay.
Is that, you know, just some kind of a part of the lawn that's unhealthy? Could it be insects? So let's cover that in our next segment.
That sounds great.
You are listening to WJR's Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. We'll be back right after these messages. You are listening to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. I'm Ann Thomas. I am here with Dean Darren. Dean is the Vice President of Retail Operations and the Merchandise Manager for English Gardens. And Dean, you've got so much great advice. I do want our listeners to know they can go to WJR.com. They can look for Weekend Experts, and they will find the WJR Gardening Show. And there we will have a little note that says, Ask the Garden Pharmacy Department. You have this fabulous department here where you are available. You're here to help people. And one of the things that we want to talk about in this segment is helping people with grub-infested lawns.
Yeah.
You know a little bit about this.
Yes, I do, because I've had grubs at home myself, and probably the in order of what people have problems with their lawn, weeds probably are number one, and so things like crabgrass and dandelions, and if you're buying a four-step program, you automatically get the crabgrass preventer, you automatically get the dandelion and weed killer. If you see other weeds in your lawn, very easy to take care of with a ready-to-use trigger sprayer weed killer. But you need to know what kind of weed you have. So if you brought a sample into one of the pharmacy departments, we can identify the weed, tell you how to kill it. Number two probably is insect problems. And grubs are the number one insect that can destroy a lawn, can destroy it very quickly. I remember looking out of my upstairs bedroom window down at my lawn, and I saw this brown area, big brown area of my lawn. And I go, uh-oh. And sure enough, it was grub damage. And by time I reacted to it at that point, the lawn was dead 2 weeks later.
Seriously?
Yeah. And
so what did you do?
So basically, I know that we have grubs in our area. And grubs come from typically two different insects, adult insects, and this is the larvae from them, and they pupate. One is a June bug, and the other is a Japanese beetle.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese beetles are bad because when they hatch, and that's that fluorescent green and orange insect, smaller than a dime, they do a lot of damage to your yard and your garden. They'll decimate a vegetable garden, rose plants. They chew and eat everything. And so they'll do damage after the fact, but they do a lot of damage to the lawn also. For me, it was June bugs. And they're more of a nuisance. They don't do a ton of damage. They have a short life, but then they lay eggs. And those eggs are laid in your ground, in your soil. And that grub can take up to 3 years before it'll pupate and turn into the adult that lives for 2 weeks, lays eggs. And so for 3 years, those grubs are eating the roots of your grass and doing damage. And a lot of times people don't know it. So I'm on a regimen that I use a season-long grub killer. There's a couple different ones that are great, and I do it every year the 1st of June. And I have not had a grub problem, knock on wood, for four seasons now.
So you can do it twice a season?
Really, the grub killer, you only need to do it once. If you find out you have grubs, you'll want to do a fall application of a different grub killer that's very strong and fast acting, but it dissipates very quickly. It's a one and done, kill what's there. But for me, I'm on a maintenance program now. I want to use a grub killer that's going to last a long period of time.
Sure.
It's not as strong of a chemical, but as those adults, my lawn has no grubs. My neighbor's June bugs are laying the grub eggs in my lawn. It's going to kill them immediately because that chemical is there, built up.
How do you determine that you have grubs, number one, and then you knew automatically mm-hmm. what type of grub you had, but how does, the average guy out there figure this out?
Yeah, so if your lawn doesn't look good, it probably is one of three or four different problems. Grubs are a common problem. We recommend anytime you have an issue with your lawn, if you have a brown area, and then there's a green area, bring in a square foot of your grass about 2 inches deep. You throw it in a little cardboard box. We're going to send you back home with it so you can put it back in place. But many times we can tell just by what we see in the soil, the roots. If it's a disease, you'll actually see the blades of the grass being damaged on that margin line between the brown and the green. If it's grubs, you're going to find that there's no roots. That grass just pulls right up with no roots, and that's because all the roots were eaten by the grubs. So we can determine that, again, in the store with a sample.
What happens if you've got a terrible grub problem and the whole front lawn is destroyed?
So typically, when someone finds out they have a grub problem, a lot of times their lawn is totally destroyed. And basically, it's just a renovation at that point. A renovation is as easy as putting down seed. And there's great times to do that. August is the number one time to sow grass seed. Sod farms that do sod for, they farm it, that's when they sow their seed is in August. But you can sow seeds in the spring. But again, real important, if you just put down step one, which is your crabgrass preventer, and then you seed, the crabgrass preventer is going to kill the grass seed as it germinates. So it can't tell the difference. There are special ones, step one for seeding, and that's, again, something we'll be advising you on when we're helping you through this process. If you do need to seed, you're going to want to use a special step one that you can seed with.
Are you a fan of seeding or sodding?
Well, I've had some great luck doing both. Sodding is very nice because it's instant gratification, and but it can be expensive. Seeding is going to be much more economical, and you're going to be able to maybe choose the best seed for your area. And we have some really, really great grass seeds right now. Their technology is unbelievable, just like everything. Golf clubs hit the ball farther. Well, the grass seeds today are great, and if you use the right one for the right area, I like the seeding option.
Well, just taking a look at the lawn that you showed me, your lawn, mm-hmm. and the way you didn't reseed, but you overseeded?
I just overseeded with a product called Black Beauty Ultra, and it's a great grass seed, and we'll get a little more into that in a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about that in this final segment, because number one, it looks beautiful. Number two, I want to know how you do it and when. So
Okay. You
are listening to WJR's Gardening Show. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. Visit an English Gardens location near you this weekend and get 40% off one regular priced item with code WJR23. That's code WJR23. Once again, here's your host, Ann Thomas.
I'm here with Dean Darren. Dean is the Vice President of Retail Operations and the Merchandise Manager for English Gardens. And Dean, you are available to answer questions. If any of our listeners have questions, they can go to WJR.com. Weekend Experts, look for the WJR Gardening Show. And they can also look for Ask the Garden Pharmacy Department. And you and many of your master gardeners are available to answer pretty much any questions about plants, lawn care, landscaping.
Yeah, we're there, and we have a great staff that does a great job and very knowledgeable.
Now, you're also open for this entire Easter weekend in case any of our listeners need a nice plant or a housewarming gift or something for Easter.
Yeah, we're open Saturday from 9 to 7 and Easter Sunday from 9 to 5.
And you've got lots of product
and
for people.
And we've got lots of beautiful plants and flowers, and there's nothing like color and a colorful plant to make someone smile.
Absolutely. Great, great gift for anybody that you will be seeing this weekend. Now, before the break, we were talking about your beautiful lawn and this incredible seeding that you were doing.
Yeah.
And I can't get over how nice it looks and the fact that you just put seed on top of the grass.
Yeah, so the really overseeding a lawn is something you should be doing regularly. Maybe not every year, but one of the things is if you're using step one every single spring, you're actually preventing the lawn from doing its natural reseeding process. Because if your lawn does go to seed and drops the natural seed in the lawn, that step one is killing that seed before it can germinate.
So you're not
getting the lawn doing its own reseeding. So you want to overseed, and a great time to do that is in August. You want to make sure you haven't used any weed killers, and you have to not use weed killers for 6 to 8 weeks after. So that's the key in seeding. But basically, you can just take and overseed the lawn right on top of the grass that's there. I've actually changed my lawn from a Kentucky bluegrass blend to a Black Beauty blend. And Black Beauty is a brand of seed from Jonathan Green. They have several different types, Sun and Shade, Shady, Ultra. Mm-hmm. I'm using Black Beauty Ultra at home, which is 90% of a fescue. It's a deep-rooted fescue that has a blade that looks like bluegrass. It's green like bluegrass. You would think it was bluegrass, but the blade actually has a waxy coating on it. And the difference is the roots of Black Beauty Ultra, or Black Beauty seed, go 4 feet deep. So you decrease your watering. The lawn stays healthier with less water. The waxy coating keeps it moist in the hot summer. It doesn't stress out. And that picture I showed you was from last August.
It says it all.
And I was watering probably 8 minutes on a zone 3 times a week. Very short amount of water. You don't want to water every day because then you'll get you'll create roots that don't go deep. So not overwatering is important.
Based on this experience, are you thinking that that's the best seed for a Michigan lawn?
I love that seed, and anybody we're selling it to right now, they're having great success with it.
And how do you determine how much seed you need?
So when you're overseeding versus new seeding, there's different rates. It's on the bag, and we're there to help you with that. It's all about square footage. So, you know, very important to know how many square feet your lawn is. There's jargon in the industry, 5M and 15M. Well, M is 1,000 square feet, so 5M is 5,000 square foot coverage. But you want to know, and basically if you don't know how many square feet you have, you just, if you bring in the measurements of your lawn, typically a 60 by 120 lot, that's 7,200 square feet. Take out the driveway, garage, house, sidewalks, and easements. You have to add the easements back in because that's not part of your lot. But depending on all that, that's typically a 5,000 square foot lawn, 60 by 120. We go from there. But if you know the lot size or actually measure length and width of areas, we can tell you how many square feet you have.
And it sounds like it's not that expensive to do.
It really isn't. It's doing it yourself is very affordable, and you control what you're doing. If you don't have any weeds, the broadleaf weed killers that we put down only kill the weeds that it can come in contact with. We talked about that it has to stick to the leaves. Right. If you have no weeds in your lawn and you're putting down a broadleaf weed killer because that's what you have in your step program, you're really putting down chemical you don't need and you're not utilizing. Again, that's the easy way, most convenient, very easy to use, but there's, you know, differences there's pros and cons to both.
Now, for you, another key to a successful, beautiful lawn is feeding the soil. And you've got a couple of good products for that, right, Dean?
Yeah.
Barron?
So very important, and this is really new in the last 5 to 7 years, is not only feeding the grass plants, but actually feeding your soil. And we talked a little bit about adjusting the pH.
Yes.
But then we have another fantastic product called Love Your Soil. And this is basically a super gypsum that will break down compacted soil, but then also it stimulates the microbial life in the soil. And that really is the key. You'll actually create topsoil in the ground from hard compacted soil. And that topsoil is great for growing the grass. But then the other thing that the microbial life will do is that when you put fertilizer down, it lets that fertilizer release correctly to the grass plants. And it'll even release fertilizer that's built up in your ground to the grass plants. So it really is an awesome, awesome product. It's a great thing. 2 times a year, if you put down Love Your Soil, you will notice a difference. And we have customers that come in all the time that basically are saying, wow, I can't believe how much my lawn has improved using the right kind of seed and also Love Your Soil. Even if you have a lawn service, Love Your Soil is a great thing to put down. We can loan you the spreader. You go down and put it down. Because I don't know of any lawn services that are actually feeding the soil.
Right. Yeah, this is a very good point. Now, before I let you go, fertilizer, it can be kind of confusing, these numbers on the packaging. Explain that.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about zero phosphorus, that middle number. But the first number is nitrogen, and nitrogen is what greens up your grass. And most people would think that the analysis of a fertilizer that's 3204, you have all seen those numbers,
right?
Three numbers, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, that a fertilizer that was 3204 and another one that is 640 or 602, would that fertilizer with the 6 have less nitrogen than the one with the 32?
Well, that's what I would think.
And it's not. They're exactly the same because they're all percentages by weight, and it all works out to being that you're putting down 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet in your lawn. So the number isn't as important as what's makes up that number. And the slow-release nitrogen that's getting you that long-lasting effect, look for that percentage. Make sure you're getting a good amount of slow-release nitrogen. The better quality fertilizer you buy, the more slow-release you'll get, the longer it'll last, and get that lawn healthy, not on a growing roller coaster, weed-free, disease-free, insect-free, beautiful green, and the envy of all your neighbors.
I love it. Dean Darren, Vice President of Retail Operations for English Gardens and the Merchandise Manager. It was so nice talking to you,
Ian,
getting
thank
to
you
know
very
you.
Much.
Yes, it was great to be here. And thank you for the wonderful advice. I think all of us now will have beautiful lawns.
I hope so.
For 2023. You've been listening to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. I'm Ann Thomas. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Mm-hmm.